Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday on Manx Radio. Man in Line in session through till 1. The numbers now, as at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the Isle of Man has conducted 32,316 tests for COVID-19, 32,287 of which have been concluded, 29 people waiting results of a test, 84 people waiting for tests. 5 new cases yesterday, so that's 40 cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man, 2 of which were travel-related and detected during days 1, 7 or 13 of self-isolation, and nobody is in Nobles Hospital with COVID-19. The last up-to-date figures for the vaccination dashboard say 20,013 vaccinations have taken place on the Isle of Man, 13,621 first dose administered, 6,392 second dose administered, and we currently have 10,241 shots of vaccine in hand as stock for first and second doses as well. Those are the numbers. That's what's happening. And lots of people have been asking, sending texts and emails in, is there going to be a briefing today? As yet this morning, we received a notice from government to say there are no plans to have a briefing today, and consequently there'll be no questions from the media. Some notes in already just saying it's okay to promote the Isle of Man. This is a story of Angela Byrne from the Tourist People in Department of Enterprise, saying they're going to put together a budget and a plan to promote the Isle of Man as a tourist destination after lockdown finishes, when everything gets back to anything regarding normal. But this correspondent says, when the boat costs £340 for two people in a car, the choices of where to go for the same cost will come into it. Lots of destinations across Europe. You can fly for less than £100 each, says Alan. Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, some people are going to be slashing costs to get tourists in. And do you remember a few months ago, I think it was in the last year, Steve was a caller on the Man in Line and said we should make it £15. Do you remember? Obviously now the steam packet is in public ownership. Treasury is their shareholder. Steve said to get people to the Isle of Man, we should make it £15 for anybody coming from the UK to the Isle of Man. That way you would pack the place. And obviously you would then sell people hospitality when they came here. So maybe that's one thing to do. But obviously the Department of Enterprise will be putting something together and we'll see exactly what happened. Do you remember during the foot and mouth outbreak as well, when that had all finished, the steam packet had a big television campaign, because we don't often see television campaigns, particularly if you're on satellite, because it's geo-restricted. But they spent quite a lot of money on television as well. But we'll see. So another note from somebody called Stephen, just saying, is there a government media conference today? No. Not as yet, we're saying as well. You may remember we were talking about insurance earlier on this week on the Man in Line, and we were talking about whether or not insurance policies offered legal cover. And some people found that they weren't covered under Manx law. Well, just to clear up some of the misunderstandings, we've had obviously consumers' point of view here, but the chairman of the Isle of Man's Financial Planners and Insurance Brokers Association is James Osborne, and James joins me on the line today. Good afternoon, Mr. Osborne.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Can you just put us straight on this Manx legal cover on policies?
I think the main thing is on this. For Bieber, we're the industry voice for insurance brokers on the Isle of Man. And I think the most crucial thing here on legal expenses cover is just make sure that you speak to your broker who's doing this cover for you and just ask the right questions. Because, you know, penny wise, pound foolish, one can sometimes be tempted to go for cover that's a bit cheaper, that's online with whatever and whatever. And it's really important to have cover to make sure that it definitely covers you here. But on this very subject, you need to speak to an expert. And, you know, I suppose the old adage is, if in doubt, communicate. Just ask the question. You know, small print, yes, there is that analogy called small print, but it, you know, things are transparent now. You can look at the policy conditions, and it is jolly straightforward. But, you know, just go on your Google and just search a good general insurance broker over here, and just ask the question. And so then you will be informed, and you'll know exactly what cover you've got.
Okay, and typically, what would legal cover, Manx legal cover, what sort of instance would that cover?
There's quite a wide remit on this, and of course, some policies cover things that others don't. And I think the most important thing, in case of any litigation against you, whether it be from a neighbour or something to do with a car accident or some sort of prosecution, you just need to make sure that you've got the right cover. Personally, I am not a general insurance broker, but there are several very good ones on the island. And it's just, you know, I think I'll just go back to what I said earlier. It's just really, really important to ask the right questions. What am I covered for? You know, take the time to ask the question. And if you're, you know, and if the broker's not able to answer the question, you know, swiftly and promptly, just get a second opinion from another insurance broker is what I would say.
Okay, and regarding something like travel insurance, we had a gentleman call the other day saying that lots of policies from the UK or on the internet only cover repatriation as far as the UK, and that you should check the small print to make sure you can get back here if something goes awry.
Really super important this is, because I nearly fell foul of this about 15 years ago. So it's just very, very important to read the small print. It is easy to ask the question today. You know, you email traffic, etc., whoever you're insuring with, just ask them the question, because there are a few nuances when you live on the Isle of Man, and how does that repatriation work. So I think, Andy, it's just simply, if in doubt, communicate, and just ask your broker what you're paying him for to give you the correct advice, and you ask, well, what happens if, and then you will know.
Okay, James Osborne, who is chair of the Isle of Man's Financial Planners and Insurance Brokers Association. Thanks for clearing that up, James. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's 12:15. The Man in Line in session through till 1 today on Manx Radio. So if in doubt, speak to your broker, check the small print as well. Lots of people have been in touch. In fact, Roger Blackford from Blackford's Insurance has dropped us a note just to say household legal expenses cover is usually an optional extra from insurers available for the client to purchase. All policies aren't very expensive. The cover will not usually be very extensive, but each client should refer to the insurer's policy wording for full details of the cover on offer, along with exclusions to the cover. And that's the important thing, in that you should refer to any exclusions, and remember to check the jurisdiction of the cover with your chosen insurer to make sure that legal expenses extends to cover your resident on the Isle of Man. Just example, as James Osborne said, if your property for some reason, if you have a problem, let's just say, with your roof, and water from your roof goes on to the next door property, then obviously you may be subject to legal problems, and you'll need cover for that as well. So read your insurance policy wording very carefully, because it explains the full details of cover available, and importantly, the exclusions to the cover that you have paid for. When in doubt, speak to your broker, or if you're going online, make sure you call the call centre, but of course, be prepared to wait. Adam now on the Man in Line. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Good, thanks.
Good. I've just got a bit of a question I wanted to ask on the radio, and it's regarding this week's newspapers. I just wanted to ask, the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company have told us that their crews have not been self-isolating at all outside of work in this week's papers, nor are they going to be required to self-isolate at all in future. So why wouldn't we have young Manx people with mental health problems going to prison for 6 weeks because they visited their friend's house? And when COVID-19 shrinks at the sight of David Ashford and Howard Quayle, why are Mr. Ashford and Mr. Quayle no match the Liverpool branch of the RMT union?
You think it's down to the unions in the UK?
Well, I do. But I can sympathise with the crew on the steam packet. I can understand that they can't self-isolate all the time. But I just find it ironic that when we've got young Manx people with mental health issues going to prison for 6 weeks for visiting a friend's house and such like, other people going, coming into town to get medication and going to prison in their early 30s, going to prison, that's them with a criminal record for life. And yet the steam packet staff don't have to self-isolate at all, and they're not going to
Why do you think it's the union? Do you have proof of that at all?
No, but it's the crew who's been protesting. The union represents the crew. So it's hard to fathom the callousness of it to me.
Well, I'll just thank you for calling, Adam. I'll just echo the fact that we've asked the government for clarification on it. They've said all this week there's going to be some sort of statement. There doesn't look like there's going to be a briefing today, so we can't ask. I guess we need to find out some way, Adam.
I think we do, Andy. Maybe someone will have an answer.
Let's hope so. Thanks for calling us today. I want to go to, let me see, I think it's Louise. Hello, Louise. No, this is Louise here. Hello, Louise.
Hello. It's about the travel insurance. I listened with interest to what the gentleman was saying, and I totally wholeheartedly agree with him. And I would urge anyone who's buying a policy online, however cheap it is, to actually go into it in depth. Because I bought a policy off a very well-known company who specialise in people over a certain age and thought I was covered, asked all the questions. They told me that their only legal obligation was to get me back to the UK. After that, it was the NHS's responsibility to repatriate me back home. I actually involved my MHK and the Department of Health in this, and he sent them copies of the typical health agreement, and they still wouldn't budge. So I would urge anybody to be very, very careful, because you will get caught out and it will cost you a lot of money.
And was this a hypothetical case, or were you ill abroad?
No, I wasn't ill abroad. I researched it before I went on my holiday, because I asked them when I took the policy out, will you repatriate me back to the Isle of Man? I live in the Isle of Man, and it means another plane journey back. And, you know, an air ambulance is a lot of money. First they said yes, then they came back and said no, that it was they'd get me back to the UK. That was all they were legally obliged to do. And after that, they insisted the NHS was responsible for getting me back to the Isle of Man.
Which, of course, they don't do, no.
So I would urge anybody who's thinking of going abroad, who's taken out policies, please look into it. Because, I mean, if you are seriously injured and medevac back to the UK and have treatment and are still not well enough to actually get on the boat yourself, you will end up with a huge bill.
OK, and presumably you've got a new insurer now.
Oh, yeah, and I tell everybody, I couldn't get through to them. Even my MHK, who sent them a copy on a government-headed notepaper, still couldn't get through to them. They insisted it was the NHS's responsibility.
OK, Louise, thanks for getting that to us. Good to hear from you today.
Thank you. Bye.
OK, thank you. And Marion is with us. Hello, Marion.
Oh, hello. I'm just ringing to say that we're talking about all this legal business. I was renewing my premium, and I just asked the people, the insurance company, and asked them to check it out. And I didn't have to wait more than 2 or 3 minutes, and they went to the manager, and he checked it out, and that was it.
And that was that a Manx broker that you were talking to?
No, I don't deal with brokers. I deal direct with the insurance companies.
Oh, I see. Was this online, or you did it on the phone? Okay, and so you now, I mean, was this you're talking about repatriation to the Isle of Man for medical cover?
No, it was just there's a clause on the policy my husband set it all up, and it just said legal expenses, and then, I mean, obviously there's a whole pile of stuff about it, but there was no question at all about any of it. It just said, no, there wasn't a problem.
OK, thanks, Marion. Thanks for clearing that up.
OK.
22 minutes past 12 on Manx Red. I've been getting lots and lots of feedback regarding poor internet speeds on the Isle of Man. Colin dropped me a note just to say, Andy, I contacted Manx Telecom on the 15th of January about my internet falling away from mid-afternoon, and by 6 o'clock every evening I was lucky enough to pick up emails, Netflix, forget it. They initially said it was a connection issue, too many people using the internet due to lockdown, and advised me to phone back after lockdown if the problem persisted. It did after lockdown. Then they said my router was too old, I needed a new one, £50, or free if I took out a new contract for unlimited broadband for 2 years. That didn't solve the problem. They said I needed to change the channel on the router. I did it several times. That didn't, you following this? Then they said it was due to buffering, once again a contention issue as well. They arranged for an engineer to come out and check what the problem was. He straight away found the problem. It was the router they'd supplied about 3 weeks earlier, and the engineer said it wasn't up to the job or was faulty. He replaced the router with a better one. Straight away got my internet back. It's still okay at the moment. Well, I contacted Manx Telecom to see if I'd get compensation in the form of a reduction in my monthly bill for not getting the service I was paying for. No internet from the mid-afternoon, nothing in the late evening for about 3 weeks. They said I wasn't, as it they'd followed the procedure step by step and got me back online, even though it took 4 weeks to solve the problem. I didn't think it was very good service. I suggest if other people are having problems with slow speeds or none at all, they should contact Manx Telecom and get a better router or get a better quality one off eBay. It may solve the problem, as it did for me, says Colin. Peter dropped me a note regarding Marine Drive, or Marine, as it may be called. It's the equivalent of the California Pacific Coast Highway, or could be if it reopens, said Peter. If the Isle of Man can splash taxpayers' money on horse trams for tourism, you could similarly argue for fettling up Marine Drive. Whilst on Marine Drive, could you remind people walking on the open road section in the road and not on the pavement, it's generally safer to walk to the right, facing the traffic, so you don't get clipped from behind. And I also see many people plugged into their music, completely unaware of the surroundings as I cycle past, said that. Thanks to Phil Edge, who dropped me a note. We were talking about the idea of the army building the bridge on Marine Drive. It was actually the then Lieutenant Governor, the Major General, now Sir Lawrence New, Major General in the Army, and he was the one who mooted the idea of the Army building the bridge. I think Sir Lawrence was 85 to 90, I think he was in Lieutenant Governor. Anyway, it was that was the situation. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hey, Andy. No, just listen to that person was saying about the internet. I had similar problems before lockdown. This is going back almost 2 years now. And I had similar problems for over a year with Manx Telecom. And they would lend you a new router, which they did for a fortnight, which was no use. And then they suggested a booster. But as I was getting no signal whatsoever, how can you boost something that's not there? And eventually, and I mean eventually, an engineer came up, and where our telephone system comes into the house, all he'd done was took one of the filters off that, one of the cable filters, and put a new drop-in box on the top. And for a long while, it was perfectly all right. But I could guarantee about 6 o'clock every night, my internet would switch off. And it would go like that for 2 hours. So I was paying a monthly fee for something that I couldn't get. And it's still not good yet. And their excuses are that, oh, because of the lockdown, that a lot more people are using it than that. You're on the end of the line. They even suggested I go on to fiber. And then when I asked them, they said, oh, I'm sorry, but fiber won't be up around your way from 2023.
Just run that by us again. You said you had an extension somewhere in the house that was causing a problem.
No, they never explained what it was.
Right.
He came up and where you your telephone would plug into a box, say, in a, on a wall or window ledge or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
He just took the initial top off, plugged another unit in, and plugged the telephone, the landline, which we've got, and the router, plugged them back in, and it did work for a little while. But even now, it's not satisfactory. It does. You'll go on to a program, and it'll come up as, sorry, no internet. Sorry, no internet. And so you're paying for a service. And when Stu Peters was doing this, that's how long ago it was, when he was doing the man in line, I brought this subject up numerous times. And Manx Telecom just did nothing. They just dragged their feet and made excuses. In actual fact, they said, if we have to call an engineer out, it's going to cost you £158.
Oh, correct.
In other words, keep your mouth shut and keep your head down.
Okay.
And that's the attitude I'm afraid Manx Telecom have got.
Mm. All right, Howard, thanks for reporting that anyway.
It's not a new problem, and it's something they're going to have to sort out. Otherwise, somebody's going to take a class case against Manx Telecom for failing to supply the goods.
Okay. Thanks for being with us. Have a good weekend, Howard.
And you. Bye, Andy.
28 minutes past 12. Trina, I was talking about people with extensions. Trina had dropped me a note. I just found it. She emailed in last week and said, I bought a house that had 6 extension sockets around. In the days when people used to have, before mobile phones, they used to have extensions all over the house. And she said, the engineer said it was because there were so many extension sockets in the house and that I might have to have them taken out. Have you come across this problem at all? Here's Roger with us now. Hello, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just in relation to the current topic on internet speed, and it's just how I overcome mine, and I'm not technical-minded in any way, shape or form, but I had similar problems that everybody's saying. I think I'd paid for subscription for something like 16, whatever the measure is, and at the furthest point of the house, I was finding, like a lot of people, I was down to about 2, which is almost non-existent. And so I purchased, and they were through a local store. Can I say the brand?
By all means, yeah.
Yeah, it was British Telecom, a BT. And I think its name of it is Whole Home. And it's basically a disc that you put into a 240-volt socket. When you've downloaded the app, it actually tells you on there where you've got a good signal, bad signal, whatever. So I bought 3. You've got an option to buy 1, 2, or 3 of these stand-up discs. And I plugged them at different places around the house. And I've just done a test run on the furthest point of the house, and I'm on 32.5, whatever the measurement is. Normally, it's about 35. So it's dropped 2 just because of the lockdown or the number of people using it. And I had Manx Telecom engineer around at the beginning, and he said, oh, it's the best you can do. He said the router was perfect. It was, I had too many walls in the house. He put it down to that it was obstructing the signal.
But and everything's fine now, is it, Roger?
100%. Like I said, I'd just done a test. It was 32.5 megabyte or whatever the measurement is.
Oh, you'll have people shouting at the radio for you getting 32.
Yeah, sure. Well, British BT discs, Whole Home, I think, is the BT is the brand. Whole Home is the particularly model number. And I just plugged them in, like I said, 3 different places, furthest away places from the router in the house. And I can't go wrong. And there's no subscription for that. You just buy them and that's it.
Okay.
So hope it helps somebody else.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for being with us today.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Good to talk to you. A message in from Vera just said, are the Isle of Man farmers markets at Onken today? No, it's the first and third Friday of every month. Isle of Man farmers markets will be Onken next Friday, the 5th of March. Farmers Market. I think it's tomorrow. It's Saturday, every Saturday at the Courthouse in Ramsey if you want to see the Isle of Man Farmers Market. Oh, and by the way, if you like, if you may be listening to Mark Tiley last hour with his Friday Flutter, if you like the racing, there's some racing tonight, but it's a TT race night tonight. Roy Moore is going to be at the Cregner Bar, 7 for 7.30 tonight. It's Roy Moore's TT race night. There's a hot pot supper and racers, and I think Roy Moore and Barry Woods are going to be giving a talk and a question and answer tonight. And I think they're raising money for Live at Home. Tickets are £15 and you can pay on the door. There are a few tables left, I understand, at the Craig tonight, 7 for 7.30. Roy Moore's TT race night in aid of Live at Home. £15 for your racing and also a hot pot supper as well. Lovely.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands, or you can switch and save with our huge range of Buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Making life easier. The ARC Help at Home Centre. Buy or hire independent living equipment with a free assessment from in-house healthcare professionals, or find a home help or handyman, all at ARC Help at Home Centre. Family carers receive free training. ARC also provides accredited first aid and mental health courses, plus many other courses for health and social care professionals at competitive prices. Call 205 701 or visit the ARC Help at Home Centre, Carls Lane, Tramode.
We wanted a wood-burning stove, but we wanted to do it right. Thank goodness for the Snug in Ramsey. Their showroom has over 30 quality stoves on display, and everything from fire surrounds to hearths. With over 10 years' experience, their friendly, knowledgeable team can support you every step of the way, from purchase through installation and aftercare. Call the Snug now on 818 187. Warming the heart of Ireland homes for 10 years.
Hello, we're Politibabble, a youth-run political podcast.
We're aiming to make politics more accessible while providing an insight into the youth's perspective.
We now record at Manx Radio.
And you can find us at manxradio.com, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and soon to be iTunes.
For social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can email us at politibabble@gmail.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 26 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock. We've had a running battle with Manx Telecom, says Caroline, including getting Communications Commission involved as well. Every evening at 8:30, we just lost the internet. Just gone. Outcome, contention. This is the contention. This is it. During busy times, is in the contract that we all sign. Contention means everybody else on at the same time. The Communications Commission, who of course are the regulator of Manx Telecom, or trading standards couldn't help. Apparently, when you sign the contract, you accept contention. You accept other people will be on the line at the same time as well. Just something I want to appraise you of that we're looking at on the Man in Line as well. And it's a change to petrol, which is going to be happening this coming autumn. The forecourts are going to be switching to E10 petrol, it's called, containing 10% ethanol instead of the current 5% ethanol. Did you know this? Well, apparently it's to reduce CO2 emissions. E10 is said to contain, could damage certain metals, rubber and plastics, as well as glass fibre found in some older cars. Ethanol is, of course, a solvent as well. And drivers of such cars are going to be told to use basically 5% ethanol super unleaded, which costs more than standard petrol currently in offer. Now, it's possible not all forecourts will have this. We're trying to find out more from the suppliers on the Isle of Man. It will also confirm dates of changes. But it's looking like September. This is ethanol blending of diesel is said not to be an issue, but we'll find out more as well on this. So this is the new E10 petrol that's coming on the way in September. Despite Brexit, despite lockdown, it's all going to be happening. Regarding further to matters raised, thank you. This is Tara, who said, Andy, your caller was having a problem getting a credit card on the Isle of Man. Well, HSBC is the answer. Apparently HSBC is the easiest way to get a credit card on the Isle of Man. The DOI may have rescinded the cycle lane on Glencrutchery Road, but the road markings haven't been properly removed and they're still visible. The closure of Marine Drive, I personally think, would be a good idea because it will stop fly tipping. Lots of people are still tipping fridges and freezers and televisions off Marine Drive because they can't be bothered to pay the fees at the tip. Potholes. We sent in a freedom of information request to the government to find out how many potholes have been reported, how many have been fixed, and we're going to wait for that. There is a report a problem page as well. We'll try and get a link on that at manxradio.com. But listen out, one of the MHKs who is active in highlighting the problem of potholes is Daphne Kane, and Daphne is going to be on Manx Radio later on today, so listen out for her. Mark just said, if people wish to stay on the Isle of Man longer, perhaps you should make the travel cost cheaper. So after lockdown finishes and the UK has sorted itself out, if people are coming to the Isle of Man, surely you can link the two together. If they're coming to stay for 2 weeks, it should be cheaper to come on the boat. If they're coming for shorter, make it more expensive. Sharon said, I think the silence from the government's deafening over the steam packet as well. A message in from David, who said, I'm 74 years of age. I have no idea when I'll be called for vaccination. Listening to the COVID figures is always interesting, but it will be useful to get information about where we are with the rollout of vaccinations. As David said, 74 years of age. Well, on the dashboard, the government dashboard for vaccinations, it shows how many have been administered by age band. For 17 to 49 years of age, 50 to 64 years of age, 64 to 79 years of age, and 80 plus. The vast majority are 65 to the 80 pluses, obviously, people who are in vulnerable categories there. But David, you can always call to find out more if you want to get the information. The information is on the, it's not 11, it's the other one. You need to phone 686262. That's 686262. If you call that non-medical COVID number, you'll be able to find out if you're in doubt as to when your vaccination will arrive, particularly as you're 74 years of age. That's 686262. Give them a call as well. Lots of messages in today. I would ask any UK broker, says this correspondent, if they actually know where the Isle of Man is. How many times do you get that when you phone people at UK call centres? Isle of Man, Isle of Dogs, Isle of Ely, it's all the same to them. Michael said, Andy, the Isle of Man government is planning to give landowners grants to plant trees on the Isle of Man. There are people like me who have damp coming through into their homes that the government refused to help. It seems the government isn't interested in people living in the damp. The grants were scrapped in 2013. I've spent 13 years of having damp come into my downstairs bathroom and living room. I have to use a hairdryer and a dehumidifier costing me a fortune in electricity to dry it out. Damp-proofing companies charge over 5 times more than they do elsewhere to treat damp coming into the homes. I have no one to help me. I've spent many hours writing to the government for help. It's now making me ill with headaches, worry and fatigue. 13 years of damp coming in, hair dryers and dehumidifiers taking its toll. That's Michael. Well, if you have a problem with damp and you have any advice for Michael, then you can always let us know. If you have an appointment, by the way, at Nobles Hospital on or after the 1st of April, you won't be able to smoke anywhere. Do you smoke? Anywhere within the grounds. At all. All Department of Health and Social Care sites, including Nobles, GP practices, facilities at the old Nobles on Westmoreland Road, and the department's Crookhall House headquarters are banning smoking from the start of April. And remember, next Monday is the 1st of March, so the clock is ticking if you smoke a pipe, cigar, or cigarettes. It's not limited to outside the buildings. The move will cover grounds of the facilities and the car parks as well. This is what Mr. Ashford had to say.
We will, of course, be asking people to respect the zones. In terms of policing, we don't want to go down the enforcement route. There is enforcement we can take if necessary. But I think people would rightly understand why hospitals and other medical zones would be a smoke-free zone. Many other jurisdictions, such as the UK, have had this for many, many years. We're not reinventing the wheel. This is something that's been in place and people are used to in other areas. And I think it's only sensible that since we are the Department of Health and Social Care, we should be encouraging people not to be smoking on our premises.
Does this include patients who are in for treatment? Because quite often you see them at the front door.
So it does include everyone. It's across the board. We will be bringing things in stages. We do have to make that absolutely clear. It's not one big bang. It's spread over a period of time so people can get used to it. But I think, as I say, Department of Health and Social Care, clues in the name, it's only right that we should be a smoke-free zone.
Will there be help on offer for those that are in and desperate to have that cigarette?
Well, I believe we do already offer patients various routes of access to quitting cessation of smoking programmes, quitting smoking, giving things up. I believe that position is already there, but we will obviously be encouraging anyone to go down that route.
And by 2022, this will extend to care homes and all NHS facilities basically run by the department?
It will, and we've decided to do it in a staggered manner because it will take people time to get used to that. But again, as I say, we're not reinventing the wheel. This isn't something the Isle of Man has just suddenly come up with. Many, many other jurisdictions around the world have these policies in place. And again, clues in the name, health and social care, we should be encouraging people to cease smoking when and where we can.
How do you feel about this? Do you smoke cigars, pipe? Does anybody smoke a pipe anymore? You smoke cigarettes? How do you feel about this if you go into medical facilities? It's been a wee while coming, isn't it, since smoking was banned in various buildings as well. As a smoker, I don't think it's right, said this correspondent, that you can't smoke at the hospital, because if I were a patient, I'd like to have a smoke. But I can't because it's now banned. How are they going to police it? And that's the other thing. And what are the sanctions if you're caught having a crafty fag at the hospital? What would they do? Take your pipe away, perhaps? Confiscate your cigars? T dropped me a note and just said, the insurance company is selling you, as a Manx resident, a policy that doesn't cover you in Manx law. Is that mis-selling? Well, they're not selling an insurance policy. You still get the insurance. It's just whether or not that bit that says the legal cover, they don't give you cover in Manx law. You don't get Manx legal representation. I thought, says T, that was the broker's duty of care. Caveat emptor, I suppose I'd say. Buyer beware is the case for a refund on a missold policy. Well, as James Osborne said, they said from Blackford's, basically, you have to check. I would imagine if it's going to be a Manx broker, they'll know whether, A, if it's travel insurance, you're going to be repatriated to the Isle of Man, and also whether or not you get Manx legal cover. This is the whole point about getting UK cover or English law cover as well. Also, I saw my house as requested by Dandara before we could buy one of the new Balasala ones. Now I'm left with no new house, and I've got to be out of my rental beginning of May. And now don't have anywhere to live as well. I don't think, this is Adam is talking rubbish about the unions. This is David's words, not mine. As for saying that they jailed the COVID-19 lawbreakers over mental health problems, don't agree, says David. People were jailed for transgressing the lockdown laws at the time, the emergency powers that were brought in. But nothing's been said yet about the steam packet. Absolutely nothing. We've been promised joint statements all week long. So as soon as we get one, we'll let you know. Lots of messages in about download speeds and what have you. If you've got a particularly bad one, by the way, then tell us more about it. If you can get on the internet, that is. Why don't they just mine all along Marine Drive to widen it and fix it, sell off the stone towards the cost? I don't think so. They tried that before, and of course that's what caused a lot of the problem by blasting away some of the rock as well. Mrs. Byrne, Angela Byrne, will deserve an MBE if she can market the Isle of Man for tourism with the island in such a run-down state. Perhaps BMX and trials riding down Douglas Promenade will be of more use as well. I've got nothing against cyclists, says this correspondent, but please can they not be allowed to go on Marine Drive? Pedestrians need a break from cyclists. They have the entire island, so let the public have Marine Drive. Let common sense prevail. A concerned member of the community is John, he is as well. Regarding Wi-Fi, says Dave, if you think you have problems with MT, don't be tempted to go elsewhere, as it could be even worse. I'm an independent computer engineer, sadly in England for the moment, and the majority of issues with internet are actually Wi-Fi issues and not issues from broadband. Remember, broadband and Wi-Fi, completely different things.
Conister Bank are proud to be part of Isle of Man Government's Disruption Loan Guarantee Agreement, supporting businesses affected by the pandemic. Over the past year, we've helped many local businesses to survive and continue to trade. The scheme has now been extended until March 31st. So if your business has been affected and you require financial support, we're here to help, even if you're not an existing customer. Call Conister now on 694 694 or apply via our website. Terms and conditions apply.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Work or play. Manx Telecom has the laptop or tablet for you, available over 24 months. iPad Pros 128GB for just £39 a month. MacBook Pros 256GB, just £62 a month. Dell laptops from just £30 a month. Plus, plenty more great deals too. Order online now with nothing to pay up front and next day delivery. Check out manxtelecom.com/shop for details, terms and conditions.
With so much uncertainty, making travel arrangements has been difficult recently. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company understand this and have introduced the Book With Confidence commitment to provide greater flexibility and peace of mind. Our Book With Confidence commitment means amendment fees will be waived if your plans have to change due to COVID-19 government-imposed travel restrictions. We'll even give you a full refund should your booking with us be cancelled. Visit steam-packet.com for details and full terms and conditions.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. Regarding your item about urban gardening, it's been happening in Port Erin for the last 5 years. I was talking the other day about Marine Drive and the fact it's a real mess and the pavements have overgrown and the fences are falling to pieces and what have you. And the fact that in certain parts of the world, members of the community take over certain facilities. I mean, unauthorised and all that. In parts of big cities, they go to big roundabouts that used to have flowers in the middle of them and do them themselves. And it looked great. And there was, lady pointed out, there was an elevated disused railway bridge in New York, I think it was, that was taken over by the community, turned into a walkway and an urban garden. So this correspondent just says to me, my husband Brian has been maintaining the planters in Port Erin in the town, 26 of them, and he buys all the plants as well. Well, Brian the planter, thank you. And I didn't know that. Could have a few photos of that, I think. Urban gardening in Port Erin. How very Trey. They can't transport ethanol to the Isle of Man, says this correspondent. And another one said, well, if having this new ethanol, this E10 petrol from September, reduces CO2 emissions, the government assesses vehicle duty rates on CO2 emissions. So will that mean if you emit less CO2, it actually will reduce vehicle duty rates, or will there be they rise commensurately, I wonder. I've always wondered this as well. I don't think they don't emit CO2, do they? Don't vehicles emit CO, carbon monoxide, and then that fixes another molecule, it becomes CO2? Or am I being just too picky as well? In John, in Onchan just now, download 45.12, upload 7.94 at the moment. And a note in from Paul, who just said, I've sent an email to the DOI and it goes, my wish would be to open the whole of Marine Drive from Douglas Head to Port Sodric, providing a leisure route for all traffic to promote development of Port Sodric as a tourist destination. Now, I realised the road was closed because of a landslip and the cost of repair could be prohibitive, but I have a suggestion. The landslip area comprises a rocky area, and that could be leased to maybe a construction company as a quarry for stone. Part of the arrangement will be to clear the area inland and provide a road diversion around the area, says Paul. Well, reopening the whole of Marine Drive, I just wonder. It is a stunning view. I mean, on the best days, it's absolutely gorgeous. You get the multitude of colours of the sea looking down from on high as well. Of course, other times, it's a bit blowy. But what do you think about Marine Drive?
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Here's David with us now. Good afternoon, David.
Hello, Andy. David Fowler here. I just want to say about the ethanol.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible thing. They cut down the Amazon to grow sugarcane to produce the ethanol. So it's going to wreck the planet if everyone uses ethanol.
Well, not according to the EU, because this E10 petrol is coming in from September, they say.
Yeah, I mean, it cuts CO2 emissions in the country, but where it's produced, they're felling the Amazon rainforest to produce it.
And can you only produce ethanol in that way?
No, but do you really believe they're going to supply ethanol to the entire planet with ethically sourced ethanol? It's probably impossible.
So what do you think should happen then? I mean, if they're set on this course of action that we're going to get this new petrol.
Don't have it. It would be greener to keep it as fossil fuel and not put the ethanol in.
All right. Okay. Thanks for being with us today.
All right.
Good to talk to you. And Fenella joins us on the Man O'Line. Hello, Fenella.
Oh, hello. I'm just ringing up about the vaccinations and things. And apparently it's only for the ones that are getting done, squeezed in where they weren't, are the very vulnerable. Now, I don't know if people with Parkinson's are considered very vulnerable, because I do not think that, I think they've done it wrong, because I think that people who've got something like Parkinson's or MS, or they don't usually see their GP. So their GP doesn't really know them. They only go if they've got perhaps a bad throat, or something's happened to them, or they've fell over or something. They don't go. They go to the. They have an appointment every few months with the person and nobles. And they see them, and they know how bad or not bad they are. But as I say, a list has gone out from the GPs, and I don't know where my husband is on it. But I don't know how to find out either.
Okay.
So, I'm just ringing up to say lots of people will be in the same boat.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being with us, Fenella.
Right.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for being on The Man in Line today. Well, that's about it for The Man in Line today. It's all happening here.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
A note in from Chris, where are you, Chris? He's in America. Well, I lived in Florida. I worked for a period as a registrar at the emergency department at a local hospital in Florida. We had a prohibition on smoking throughout the hospital with only one small table outside the employee entrance at the back of the car park, as the smoking area wasn't available to the public. One night I watched four different patients sneak out of ER to grab a quick smoke. One young lady was on strong pain medications, didn't realise she was wearing a very wide open hospital gown, revealing everything. There could be other yet thought of problems with an absolute prohibition on smoking. I'm not a smoker, but I do understand the difficulty in kicking the habit. That's it for the man in line, by the way. Roy Moore's TT Race Night, by the way, just to reiterate, tonight at the Craig, 7 for 7.30, £15 and a hot pot supper, raising money for Live at Home. Thanks to Barry Redfern. Thanks to you for your contributions to The Man in Line this week. Have a wonderful weekend. The Man in Line returns at high noon, 12 midday on Monday.
W.